Can you imagine going to a party and not knowing if your gift should be in a wedding bag or a new baby bag? Were you supposed to bring a congratulations card for a graduate or maybe a Home Depot gift card for the happy new homeowners? Or imagine if you were to see a parade pass by your house and you didn't know what was going on. You would be wondering and you would gather all the clues and you'd probably ask someone, maybe an expert like Siri or Alexa, what the fuss is all about. You would be wondering. So it goes without saying that it helps to understand why we are celebrating. The more we understand why we celebrate something, the deeper and more heartfelt our celebration will be. And when it comes to celebrating Christmas, it's not just helpful, it's everything. In fact, the reasons we celebrate Christmas overflow into the reasons we can have real hope every day in a world that is not always jingle bells and twinkling lights. Tonight, I do want to turn to John 18, which Lynn read for us, to look at the why of Christmas. Why do we celebrate? What are we celebrating? I recognize that this is not a typical Christmas passage like Luke 2 that Linus recited, and my Nana recites every Christmas Eve by heart. But I love John 18. I love it because in it, Jesus himself explains why he came and why we celebrate. So why did Jesus come to earth as a baby? What's all the fuss about? Let's let Jesus explain it for us. And as he does, my prayer is that what we learn would strengthen our faith and really fuel our worship. I don't know all of you here tonight. I wish I did. Perhaps some of you do not believe in Christ, or maybe you are unsure of the truthfulness of Christianity. I am praying that this time is helpful in clarifying the meaning behind Christmas and what that means for you. Before we read our passage again, I'd like to help set the stage for the scene that we will find there. We're going to fast forward, way forward from the manger scene. In our passage, Jesus, now fully grown, has been teaching and preaching for 3 years. The religious leaders don't approve of his teaching and his claims to be Messiah, Israel's promised king. They want him dead. Everything comes to a head when Judas, one of Jesus' disciples and friend, betrays him into the hands of the religious leaders. Next, Jesus is arrested. All of his followers have deserted him. Jesus is bound and led to the high priest. The Jewish high priest then questions Jesus in an informal hearing. Then the high priest delivers him over to the Roman governor, Pilate, who also interrogates Jesus even further. Pilate, you'll see, is trying to figure out why this man is even on trial. So this brings us to our passage for tonight. So go ahead and look at John 18 again. We're going to read the whole thing, verse 33. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So, do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Before we go any further, I want to highlight the fact that Jesus is on trial as a criminal, though he never sinned. Let's think about that for just a moment. This is one of the most stunning things about Christianity. The Bible says that we are born sinners and our hearts are desperately sick. The Bible says that from birth, we want what we want when we want it, and we want what we want right now. This is true of everyone who has ever lived, except for one person, Jesus. Recently, my 8-year-old son, Nate, asked me, I think I was cooking, he said, "Mom, so Jesus never ever sinned?" And we've talked about this many times, so I was kind of confused by the question. I was a little surprised, and I said, "That's right, son, Jesus never ever sinned." And he, you could tell he was thinking, the wheels in his little brain were turning. And he said, even when he was a kid? And I said, even when he was a kid, Nate? To which he smiled and kind of slowly said, his mom must have loved that, huh? It was so funny. I was like, I'm gonna have to use that. It is just so hard to wrap our mind around a person like us in so many ways with flesh, with emotions, and who's tempted, but who never, ever sinned. So look at John 18, 37 now, when Pilate says to him, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Notice carefully Jesus' words here. Remember, we're aiming together for a deep understanding of what it is we're celebrating and why. The first thing this passage helps us to understand about Christmas is that we are rejoicing in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, for this purpose I was born. Do you see how this points to Jesus' humanity? The word incarnation literally means clothing with flesh. You hear that word carnal in the word incarnation. Jesus was born. Now, friends, I don't have everything in common with any of you, and I might not even have much in common with some of you, but we are all women, and we're all here right now, and there is another thing. We were all born. Every one of you has a birth story, obviously, whether you know all the details or not. And perhaps some of you don't know any of the details. But you were born on a specific day to a specific mom, and you weighed a specific amount. So for me, I was born in Dallas, Texas. Are there any Texans out there? I missed the answer to that. Yeah, Meg. Yep. We're proud. And I weighed almost 9.5 pounds, kind of crazy. And like my own daughter, Annie, I came after this long line of grandsons. So there were 6 boys before I came. And apparently, the story goes, my mom's doctor was so excited for my family, she knew us, that he got on the intercom and he said, Gus and Martha, you have a granddaughter, and totally stole the thunder from my dad, which was kind of sad. So we all have a birth story. Likewise, Jesus was born. He was a real baby human and cried and needed changing and soothing, and he too had a mom, Mary, who had to figure out his real needs. Jesus was a real baby, and he was wrapped not only in swaddling clothes, but in flesh. Jesus was a real person in our real world with a real birth weight in a real little town called Bethlehem. He was really born to a virgin, which is amazing. He was not born in a hospital, as you know, but laid in a lowly manger, a feeding trough for animals, because all the inns in town were at capacity. But don't lose sight of the simple fact that he was born. He was really human. Then Jesus goes on, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world. Now we can relate to Jesus in that we were born too, but this is totally different. This is a mystery. This is amazing. I read a pastor who marveled at this, saying, there is more mystery in Christmas than the virgin birth. Jesus existed from of old. You see, the fact that Jesus came into the world means he existed before he was born. Micah 5:2 is a commonly read Christmas verse. It's from an Old Testament prophet who lived hundreds of years before Jesus was born. Micah is telling, he's foretelling, he's prophesying of the little town of Bethlehem, who would, though little, bring forth the ruler, the long-awaited promised ruler. Micah 5:2, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient of days, whose origin is from of old, from ancient of days. So the fact that Jesus was born points to his humanity, and the fact that he came into this world, well, that's totally different, and it points to what Christians call his deity. That means that Jesus is God. Jesus is utterly unique in this way from all other people. He alone is fully God and fully man. There are so many verses in the Bible that talk about why Jesus was born and why he came into this world. So listen to just a few with some of this came into the world language. And each of these verses will start getting us at the heart of why Jesus came, why the incarnation. So listen carefully. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. 1 John 4:9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this passage, we see that God sent Jesus into this world. Again, he existed before he was even born. Some verses talk about how Jesus appeared. So after eternally existing with his Father in heaven, he appeared on earth with us. And why? 1 John 3:5 says, "You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin." Again, Jesus never sinned, and therefore he appeared as one able to take away sins. 1 John 3:8. So Jesus was born, yet Jesus existed forever before he was born. God became man, incarnation. God took on flesh and lived a sinless life on earth. Pastor John Piper says, "You can read every fairy tale that was ever written, every mystery thriller, every ghost story, and you will never find anything so shocking, so strange, so weird and spellbinding as the story of the incarnation of God." At Christmas, we are celebrating the amazing truth of the incarnation, the truth that Jesus was born, and the truth that he came into the world, the truth that he was fully man and fully God. That's the first thing I want us to see in this passage. The second thing we see in this passage is that at Christmas, we are celebrating that Jesus is king. Look now again at verse 33. Pilate came to Jesus and asked if he was the king of the Jews. He asked the question because to some degree, he understood that the Jews were waiting for a king. You may know that in the Old Testament of the Bible, there were many kings. Some were good and some were horrible, but none were perfect and none could reign forever. The Jews waited for their king, and God graciously gave them prophecies like the one we just read in Micah. He gave them hints that he would indeed send a ruler, so they waited. And the Jews of Jesus' day hoped. They hoped that this coming, promised king would finally come and deliver them and victoriously save them from the Romans, from the Roman rule. But what they really needed was to be delivered from their sins. So Jesus didn't outright say yes to Pilate's question. Instead of saying, yes, he was king of the Jews, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Jesus was king, and not just king of the Jews, and not an earthly king at all. He wasn't just a king, but the king. And his kingdom would know no end. He would reign forever. Have you ever stopped to consider how many Christmas carols celebrate this fact, that Jesus is king? So friends, Jesus is God and king, and he is a wonderful king, just the kind we want and need, who always does what is right. And as God and king, he alone has the right to tell us how to live. He has real authority. We are created to live under that loving and perfect authority. I am thankful. I was born in a loving, not perfect, but a loving Christian home. And in my home, my parents spoke to us about God and the gospel, and they took us to church where we heard more truths about how to be saved. My parents taught me that I was a sinner and that I didn't live under Christ's loving authority, but needed forgiveness from my sins. I'll come back to my story, but maybe you didn't hear it from your parents. And maybe you heard it along the way, but you never really cared before. But I just want you to hear it now. Jesus is God and Jesus is king, and he has loving and real authority. We were made to live under that authority, living for him. So I wonder, do you understand that Christ has loving and real authority in your life? So we rejoice in the incarnation, and we rejoice that Jesus is king. Third, at Christmas, we are celebrating the truth of the gospel. There's so much in this passage, but at the very center of it, the heart of it, is the word truth. After all, it is a trial. A trial is supposed to deal with what really happened. Has Jesus committed any crime? Jesus explains his purpose for being born and coming into the world like this. It says he came to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Then Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Doesn't Pilate sound like he would fit right in today? It is hard to know his tone behind the question. Was it a genuine question? Or was he passive, like, truth, what is it? How can we know it? So we need to understand, though, what Jesus means when he said he came to bear witness to the truth. The truth Jesus came to bear witness to is the truth of the gospel. One author explains it this way. It's the truth of his kingdom, the truth of his nature, the truth of God, the truth of man, the truth of sin, the truth of salvation, the truth of heaven and hell, gospel truth, saving truth. Jesus came to tell men the truth about God, about themselves, about life, about death, about eternity, and about forgiveness. So God opened my eyes, the eyes of my heart, to see this truth and believe it. In elementary, one Sunday night, there was a missionary visiting our church, and he told stories of sharing the good news to people far away from me in my city in Texas. So I listened as he described how he told people far away how sinners can be forgiven. And God opened my eyes to see that I needed this same news. I needed to be forgiven, like those people way over there. In disobeying my parents or being prideful to my little sisters, I too had sinned against a holy God, the very God who made me. I was a sinner, born wanting my own way. That very night after church at my papa's, where we always gathered for Bluebell ice cream, I talked to my dad about it on the back porch, and my dad explained why Jesus came, that Jesus came to save sinners. I was deeply sorry for my sin, now hating it instead of wanting it, and I trusted in Christ. I had a ton of growing to do, and sometimes the growing was slow, and sometimes it still is. But I'm thankful God gave me salvation. So maybe your story is incredibly different than mine. Maybe you've never, ever heard the truth of the gospel before, or maybe you've heard it 1,000 times. Either way, I want you to hear it clearly tonight. We want you to hear the truth of the gospel. We've already seen parts of it. There is a God, and he is king. He made all of us to know him and honor him. But we don't want him to be king over us. We don't rejoice in the fact that he is king. But we naturally reject that reality and live like it's not even true. We live like we're the king of our lives, like we're the masters of our own fate. Again, we might not have much at all in common besides the fact that we're women, and we're here in Sandy Springs eating a delicious meal together, and we have a birth story. But unlike Christ, we were all born sinners, so we deserve God's rightful anger and punishment. And we deserve the earned penalty for our sin, which is death and hell. Unlike Jesus, who stood before Pilate as a sinless man, we stand before God helpless, guilty sinners. And this is why Jesus came. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to bear witness to all of that, and not only that, not only the bad news, but he came to bear witness to good and saving news. He didn't just come as an earthly king to help us out here on earth, but as the king, the humble king, the king made low as a baby, as a human baby, who would come to give his very life to save his people, then rise from the grave 3 days later to prove that all he said was really true. And the call to us, the call of the gospel, the call to you is to repent of your sins and to trust in him. Do you remember when I shared with you my own story about how, by God's grace, I stopped loving my sin and started hating it? That is what it means to repent. To be saved, you must trust wholly in Jesus Christ and repent of your sins, hate them, and turn in faith to Jesus. Salvation is when God, as King, comes into your life and opens your eyes to the truth of Christ. In trusting Christ, we, the guilty ones, are forgiven forever. God is so gracious to look at the perfect sacrifice of Christ and turn his anger away from us because Jesus took it for us. We get to see a beautiful picture of this at the end of these verses. So look now again at verse 38. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Barabbas should have been punished by death. He was a robber, a criminal, and yet he went free. But it's not just Barabbas that should have been punished instead of Jesus, as we've already seen. Christ came and died on the cross to take the place of sinners like you and me, who turn to him repentance and faith. So ultimately, it is this amazing truth that we celebrate at Christmas. For those of you who are Christians here tonight, let me encourage you to follow Christ in testifying to all of God's truth. Deep down, people all around you are asking what Pilate was asking. No matter what their angle on it, they're asking some version of what is truth. Christian, you know that Christ is the ultimate revelation of the truth of God. So rejoice in this Christmas. Marvel at this, and let's point others to this truth, the truth of the gospel, that Jesus Christ came to forgive and save sinners. So what's the fuss all about? What exactly are we celebrating this Christmas and why? This passage pointed us to three truths. God became a man and lived among us in real flesh. He is our king and has real and loving authority. And Jesus came to save sinners, making a way to God by dying in the place of those who believe in the gospel truth he testified to. He is the only way. Let's marvel and worship together at these Christmas truths every day. Come behold the wondrous mystery in the dawning of the King. He, the theme of heaven's praises, robed in frail humanity. In our longing, in our darkness, now the light of life has come. Look to Christ who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us. Would you pray with me? Holy Father, you are King. We worship you. It is indeed a wonderful mystery that you would leave the splendor of your heavenly throne for a lowly manger, that you would be born, and that you would come into this world for sinners like us. We would be hopeless were it not for this precious truth and the truth that you came to give your life as a perfect sacrifice. Help any women in this room who, like Pilate, wonder if all of this is even true. Would you show them they don't have to be religious enough, smart enough, kind enough, or rich enough to be saved? They just have to be empty, seeing their very real need for a savior. And we adore you. You sent us a rescuer. In a season that can be so busy and distracting, help us all not to lose sight of why Jesus came. Let us adore Christ the King this Christmas and testify to all of his truth, that you may be glorified in our hearts and in this world. We love you, Father. In Christ's name we pray, amen.